From the Squamish Chief.
This is the Squamish Sound. I'm Keely Bartlett.
And I'm Stephen Chua. This is the 21st episode of our weekly podcast.
You'll hear the story behind the story as we take you into the newsroom. We'll talk about what did and didn't get into the newspaper this week.
On the show today, we're covering a public hearing on the future of the business park. The school district has voted on kindergarten ages and vaccination records. So, first off, we're going to be talking about a recent public hearing that was just held this week. It was on the future of the business park, also known as the industrial park, and that little bit of wordplay for the name is actually pretty indicative of how this topic is going to shape up. A lot of people are trying to figure out what should be in the business park. Should it be industry or should it be commercial enterprises? Mm-hmm. And the background to this is that the district staff have identified that there is a danger, according to them, that there's going to be a lot of industrial flight from Squamish because there simply just isn't enough space for them anymore. Mm-hmm. Ever since way back when they opened up the industrial park to more commercial type activities, a lot of commercial type businesses like restaurants and gyms and things that you wouldn't really associate with heavy industry have moved in. Mm-hmm. And as a result, rent has been driven up. There have been the imposition of a lot of safety regulations that have proven to be quite costly for traditional industry. And as a result, staff are quite worried that there may not be future places for, let's say, an auto shop to set up shop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for people to go and get their cars fixed. So they proposed putting a temporary stop on this so they can kind of figure out what to do in the long run. But this is kind of a, hold on, let's stop for a moment. Mm-hmm. And then after that, figure out a new plan.
Right. So a temporary stop on the commercial businesses coming in, like restaurants.
Exactly.
And more gyms and that kind of thing.
Exactly. So they want to put a temporary break on it. That's the intent, at least, until they can figure out a better way to perhaps manage it or to zone it or to place things. And that was the subject of this public hearing that came up. Mm-hmm. And even though a lot of people understood that it was a temporary measure, a lot of them were quite hesitant and expressed either caution or outright opposition to the measure.
Right. And you said that there were quite a few people who had actually come to this public hearing.
Exactly. So normally municipal hall meetings are fairly dead. It is often just me. But in this case, there was a whole showing. All the seats, well, maybe not literally all the seats, but just about all the seats were filled with people who were participating in the public hearing. It was full to the point that, you know, there were some people standing out in the hallway. So this was a fairly decent showing. These were almost invariably people who either had a business or were associated with businesses in the park, like let's say the Chamber of Commerce or something like that. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to do is we're going to play some of the comments, and then you guys can see for yourself what a lot of these folks had to say.
Kirby Brown, and I'm as the chair of Tourism Squamish. I'm here to represent Tourism Squamish. I guess what we're asking for is to be able to participate more fulsomely in this moving forward, and that instead of constraining current businesses, that this be given postponement until we can engage our community of members more fully and understand what all the issues are.
My name is Jeff Oldenburg, and I'm here representing A-Frame Brewing Company on Queensway, and I'm also an active member of the Squamish Craft Beverage Association. So many of the businesses that are in this light industrial zone already support our community, employ many people, and our growth is imminent, our expansion is imminent, and how would these changes in the bylaw prevent us from doing that?
Kathleen Vandery, I'm here representing North Yard Cider Co. Our concern with the proposed amendment to the bylaw is for growth. So thankfully, we're all concerned about growth already. So although we'd be grandfathered in with our existing use, we're worried if we do need to expand and move, what's that going to mean for the business model?
Roger Nance, I'm a director of the Squamish Chamber of Commerce, and I'm here tonight to express the views of our organization. Feedback from members is largely supportive of preserving land for industrial uses, but there is caution around measures that may prevent growth of existing businesses. Businesses who generate employment, who provide services and amenities for both residents and tourists, and who help position Squamish as a great place to live, work, visit, and invest. Lack of alternative locations is a key concern. We recognize the challenges around parking, lack of land, and the need to support retail in downtown Squamish, but some businesses need large space and viable options to grow.
My name is Lauren Watson. I'm one of the owners of the Climbing Gym. How are you supporting the businesses that are already in these spaces if you're changing the zoning? If it's going to be covered, if you're looking for a different industry there, it's because you don't want the industry that's already there. How's it work?
And yeah, there you have it. As you can tell, a lot of people were not terribly excited about this idea. But there was one person who I thought was really interesting. He was the sole person who actually represented the other side of the argument, which was what would happen if there was no freeze. And he identified himself as both a landlord and a tradesperson. So he had a very interesting perspective from, I guess, both sides of the argument. So we're going to play a little bit of him.
I own six properties. It's very hard for a motorcycle shop, or a mechanic shop, or a tire shop, or a fabricating shop. It's not affordable. Now, as a landowner, it's great because the lease rates are quite high compared to what they used to be. But as a tradesperson, it's bleak.
Okay, so that was basically everything for the public hearing. Inevitably, council decided that they would go ahead and put that freeze in anyway. Mm-hmm. They unanimously decided to vote in favor of that, so it will be happening. They said that it was... They acknowledged all the things that they heard, but they said, you know what, this is an imperfect measure. We just have to put a stop to this right now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can figure out something better in the long run, but it's a lot of them said it was a blunt tool to make this happen.
So is there an idea how long this measure might be in place for?
Yeah, so the idea is that there is a zoning bylaw overhaul which staff are developing at the moment. And if everything goes according to plan, this overhaul should be in effect sometime next year. So this would presumably take about a year. And by the time the year is up, there should be a better solution in place.
Mm-hmm. And how does this affect the businesses that are currently opening there? So mm-hmm. we know that Dairy Queen is coming up and that Mag's 99 has moved from its highway location into that area and they haven't opened yet. Mm-hmm. Does this impact them at all?
So the idea is that anything that's already in process, so let's say if you've already got a development permit or some sort of thing stating that you're going to be opening, it's not going to affect you. But it will prevent any other future businesses from applying and getting in if they fit the definition of what they consider to be too commercial. Existing businesses will still, like if you're already there and open and functioning, they're not going to come in and shut you down or anything mm-hmm. like that. That's going to be fine. But it may impact your ability to expand, which mm-hmm. is something which a lot of people said, what if I want to renovate? What if I want to add a new unit? What if I want to do this? Most likely, you probably won't be able to do that.
Jeez. Well, thanks for the update, Stephen.
Yeah, no problem.
So now we can move over to another meeting that we attended last week was the school board meeting. Mm-hmm. And so after this one policy had been in the works for a few weeks. It had come up quite a bit, and there was a lot of talk on Facebook from some concerned parents about what the age-appropriate kindergarten registration would mean for students. So the school board last week decided to go ahead and pass the amended policy that is virtually similar to what has always been in practice, but they added some clarification to what the conversations between parents or guardians and the principal would look like. So this meaningful consultation process was what a lot of parents had some confusion about how those would go through. And then they also passed, because they legally had to, the mm-hmm. vaccination records policy that previously our school district and many in BC had a policy that if you have records, we'd prefer to see them. Mm-hmm. Now they're saying if you have records, we need to see them. And if you don't, we need you to declare that your student or your child has not been vaccinated. It's not that these students need to get vaccinated. Right. Nobody's going to be banned from the school if they haven't been vaccinated. But the schools, since the measles outbreak earlier this year,
mm-hmm.
the Ministry of Education is saying that this is a requirement for school districts across the province. And so that was one part that the school board here didn't really have much of a say in, but for their kindergarten and age appropriate policy, they don't really have much of a say in that either, because that is also the grade one age requirement is mandated from the Ministry of Education as well. So that's a little bit of a wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that was interesting is, whereas your business park meeting for the council was pretty packed,
mm-hmm.
the school board meeting wasn't. So during the day when they're discussing policy meetings, they have different committees sit. So one of them's the policy, and that's when this measure came up. Nobody was there except for me. And then, which is, you know, understandable. It's the middle of the day, so not too many people can come sit through a meeting and see what's happening.
Right.
And then they have a later public meeting as well. You know, it's similar to a council. They have these meetings throughout the day, and then most people come later in the evening
mm-hmm.
when presumably they don't have work. It's a little tricky with the school board because most of the people who are interested in what's happening in the school board have kids. So when they're not working, they're with their kids, they're taking care of them. So I understand that it's a little difficult, but we did have a lot of parents who were concerned about this policy. And then also later in the public meeting, we had a lot of people were present for some of the student presentations. But when it came to the time when this policy was being passed, yet again, I was the only one there. So it is really interesting. Hmm. We do get comments from parents talking to us that we do try to include the parent perspective if people are willing to go on record when they have these concerns or these issues, but it is hard to do if nobody's there. And
yeah.
this is something we've talked about before. But, you know, sometimes we get messages of people saying, oh, I meant to be there. And, you know, it's good that the intention's there, but it doesn't count if you're not.
Yeah, right? That's a really interesting point because this is a very common recurring theme in a lot of our reporting where a lot of people are very willing to be very engaged keyboard warriors, but when it comes mm-hmm. to showing up and actually speaking out regarding any type of policy, you just don't really see them. And I'm not really sure if it's an intimidation thing or if people are just unaware of process.
Or just scheduling conflicts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is definitely interesting. It's something that I've noticed the few months I've been working here. But yeah, so, you know, if you want to be heard on a topic, reach out to us, but show up.
We're going to go over to our editor, Jennifer Thuncher, now, where she's going to present to us her choice of the week.
Can I say you're drinking coffee while we're doing this?
Yes.
You got a mug of coffee.
I need it.
Okay, it's Friday. All right, so this week, I just want to do a shout out to two people who died this week. So Bernie McCormick, he was the fellow we featured last summer when the wing in the ditch was discovered. And we went on that mystery tour trying to find out what happened with that T-33 plane. Bernie McCormick was actually in the back seat when that 1957 crash occurred.
Jeez, history.
History. And so he survived, but died this past week. A funny story is the last time I talked to Bernie was after I published a story about him, and he wrote me to say that story was wrong. And so, yeah. So I contacted him. Of course, that makes our stomachs drop. Mm-hmm. And it turned out the story wasn't wrong. It was just that, as we often do, we have to dumb it down. He's a smart guy who flew for many, many years and so wanted sort of more details. He was a detail guy, super smart. And so we had a good back and forth, and he will surely be missed. It was a sudden, he was older, of course, in his 80s, but it was a sudden death. And so his contribution to not only aviation, but of course our paper, will be missed. And the second one was Monique Napier. She was a local mom, and she battled cancer at least three times. We had her in our paper in 2015 and then 2016. Mm-hmm. She, after her first bout where she was in remission, she was doing the cancer rides for others who had gone through the same thing. So she's a really generous, kind person. And then she battled it again in 2016 and had a fundraiser, and we wrote about her then. She had a beautiful fundraiser at the Heritage Park Tea House at the time.
Mm.
Lovely lady, and so sad to see her go and leave behind her family. She'll be greatly missed in the community. So just wanted to note that.
The Squamish Sound is brought to you by The Squamish Chief. The music for this episode was produced by Stephen Chua, cover photo by Clayton Matthews. Have a story tip? Give us a call at 604-892-9161. Send an email to news@squamishchief.com. You can read these stories and more online at squamishchief.com, the newspaper, and have the news delivered to your door every week.